Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Amen. Luke chapter 15. Some people don't seem like they're excited about what the Lord's going to do this year. I'm excited about it. I want to see some more people saved. I told you last week I got to go lead a 79-year-old man to the Lord. I was hoping he'd be here today if he was good enough, felt well enough to get here. But I talked to him on the phone. His name's Anton. And but he said if he could, he said, "Preacher, I'll try to be there. I want to be there." Luke chapter 15, and Jesus starts out chapter 1. He says, "He drew nigh unto all the publicans and sinners, and for them to hear him, and drew near unto them." And it says, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them." And every time you turn around, the Pharisees and the scribes, all of them, they were always criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time he couldn't make a turn without them saying something bad about him. Here he was, God in the flesh, the Son of God, come to do good, and all they did was criticize. Why? Because they were worried about their position. They were worried about their income. They were worried about all that. Because the Bible tells you they brought him up because of envy, and they despised him because he was going to take away their position. And the Lord gives this parable about the lost sheep, and he goes through about the lost sheep, and then he goes through the parable about the lost coins. And then he goes, then he comes down and he talks about two sons and he talks about two boys. And he's got there's three people that's in this chapter or these verses that are very important. One of them is the prodigal son, and one of them is the father, and one of them is the elder brother. And all three of them have a part. They all have a part. And the main character, I'd say, would be the prodigal son. But the father is there, and thank God for the father. Now, you can liken this to a lost man coming back to God, but the lost man was never God's son. I mean, he unless you liken it that he was fallen away from God as under Adam, being lost and on his way to hell. But this is, I would say this would be a good comparison of a child of God being raised in a good Christian home and having a loving father and decide to go do his own thing or do her own thing. And, you know, this morning, we all got a loving father. We know that. Our father loves us. And if anybody could stand up and say that God doesn't love them, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the father that I know. I got a good father. He loves me. And the Bible says in verse 12, it says, "The younger son said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living." Now, in between that and that verse right there, there's a lot going on. And the Bible says the younger said to his father, give me the portion of the goods that follows me. He wanted everything given to him. There's nothing saying that the guy worked for it. Nothing said that he went out and he was obedient to his father. It doesn't say anything like that. But he says, give me what belongs to me and I'm out of here. I'm getting out of here. And you see a lot of young people raised this day and time. And I've seen a lot of them raised and being in good homes, some of them bad homes, but they can make a difference in their life if they wanted to. But they decide, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live the way I want to live. And you see them all over the country, sleeping under bridges, sleeping wherever they can sleep, eating whatever they can eat. And because they decided they're going to do what they want to do. And they were just rebellious, rebellious, rebellious. I was one of those rebellious, but I wasn't saved. And then when I got saved and realized how loving the Father is, I wanted to get closer to him. I just wanted to draw closer to him and get to know him better. And I would suggest this morning, if you're here, you're a teenager, I would suggest to get to know the Father a little bit better through the Son. Get to know him, and you'll realize how much the Father loves you and how good he can be to you. He says, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. I can see him going over. I can see that boy growing up, getting around his old friends and talking to the guys out in the world and getting magazines and all this other stuff and thinking about that far country. I want to go out there. I want to go set the world on fire. They always say, he that goeth forth to set the world on fire always comes back looking for matches. And he wanted to go out and set the world on fire. And he wanted to go out. He's going to show everybody how smart he is. I read a statistic. They said at 4 years old, you have all the questions. At 20 years old, you have all the answers. And man, you think you do, put it that way. And they always think they know everything. Young people think they know everything. They think they know it all. The old man, the old woman, they call them the old man, old woman. They think that they're just stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. They've never were young. They don't know what I'm going through. They'll never know all that. And then I hear yesterday, we had Kylie's family there. And as mama was sitting at the table, she said, you know, let's pray for such and such family. Their daughter just tried to commit suicide, 16 years old. Here's the kids. Kids think they know it all. They think they know everything, and they go out, and then the only thing they find, they get upset, and then all they want to do is kill themselves. And I'll tell you what, there's all over this country, you're finding people overdosed on drugs, trying to find a way, thinking they're going to make themselves happy. They're always looking for a way. They think, I know better. I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. I'm going to show you how to set the world on fire. And they just destroy. They destroy their lives. And this young man Jesus told about, I believe this story is true. I believe this was happening. Jesus knew about it. I believe this young man was in the days of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He said, I'm out of here. And he took his journey and went to a far country. You know, there's people sitting in here this morning, some young people sitting in here this morning. I've been here 31 years. And through the 31 years, we've always had young people, other people sitting in a building, sitting under preaching. I mean, old adults, everything else, women, men, all that sitting in under preaching and knowing how good the Father is. And they've got their eye on the far country. They want to get out. They want to go out and do what they want to do. And then their pride won't allow them to come back. One thing about this young man, his pride, he got rid of his pride real quick. I mean, he lost that pride, and he came to himself. The Bible says, and not many days after, the younger son said, give me, and he took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And man, he just thought, I'm just going to go out and do what I want to do. I got the world by the tail, and I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to show the old man. I'm going to show my brother. I'm going to show everybody. I'm going to show my friends back home that they didn't know what they were talking about. And we got people that right now sitting in this building thinking the same thing. I'm going to go out and I'm going to set the world on fire, and you're going to come back with your tail between your legs if you make it back. I was down at the motor vehicles the other day, and I was talking to one of the ladies. We took shoes down. I got her phone number in my phone. She works in motor vehicles. Her name's Tracy, and she say send shoes to Africa. And Tracy, one time she told me, I was sitting there talking to her, and she said, Preacher, that firefly, you wouldn't believe. She said, I went over there, and they have all these clothes left behind by all these kids that come out and adults that come out to the firefly. She said, there's truckloads of clothes. There's truckloads of shoes. There's truckloads of food, all that stuff left. He said, this is a pig pen out there, and they have to have people come and clean it up. She said, I went out there, it was a pile of clothes. They said, you can take that pile over there. And she was getting it together, going to wash it, and then send it to Africa to somebody that might appreciate what they have. And she said, and this is a black lady. She's a black lady that works there. Her name's Tracy. But she said this. She said, Preacher, while I was there, I saw a body laying over in the field there. And I said to somebody, what's that? They said, that's a woman over there. And she said, and then she looked and she thought, why don't somebody wake her up? She said, we tried. Yeah, she's been on drugs. And that's it. She said, anybody check her? And if she's alive? And she finally, she said, after a little while, the son came up and she was over there, and she said, the girl sat up, and she was about 30 years old, and maybe late 20s, early 30s. She said she sat up and she looked around, didn't know where she was at, what was going on. They had ambulance come and try to check her out, make sure she was all right. And they just, you know, that's all over the country, all over the world, man. People are thinking they know what they're doing. They go out, they think, I'm going to party, I'm going to show the world, I'm going to do all this stuff, like this young man right here. Some of y'all are going to end up the same way. You're going to end up eating out of a pig pen. You're going to end up eating out of a hog pen. You said, not me. I mean, I don't care if you got money. You still be in the hog pen. You think about Elvis, had all the money, all the women, all the fame, everything he had, and couldn't find a reason to live. Marilyn Monroe, all these other, these rock stars dying, overdosing, drugging their heads out, messing up their lives, and they got all the money in the world, all the fame that they want, all the things, and the devil sold them a bill of goods, man, and lied to them. Just like he'll lie to you. He'll lie to you. And the devil always, and you know what? You know what's precious to God? Precious to God is God's saints. You're God's child. And what the devil would love to get a hold of, love to get a hold of you and ruin your life and destroy you. I always say the devil can't get your soul, but the next best thing is get your life and get your family, get your children, get everything he can, destroy it and throw it in God's face and say, look at there. Look what they think about you. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. You know what I like? This old boy, he goes out to the far country, and then he wakes up. He finds himself. And the Bible says, and when he had spent all, there was a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. This old boy, man, thought he had friends. You know, when I was growing up, I thought I had friends. I thought they were only fair weather friends, only when everything was good, when I had money in my pocket. That's the only friends that I had. And boy, I tell you what, you know, the Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus Christ loves you, and he's your friend. If you can rely on him and say, Lord, you're my best friend, and I'm not going to depend on anybody else to be my best friend, I'm going to have you. And you know what young people always say? Well, I ain't got no friends. I go to church. I ain't got no friends. I ain't got no friends. Right? Nobody likes to do what I want to do. I'll tell you why. You know why? Most of the time you want to do the wrong thing. You want to go hang around with the wrong people. You want to get out and mess up your life. And maybe some of the parents say, no, you ain't going to do that. My kids ain't going to do that. I'll tell you what, my children growing up, I said, they're going to stay at my house. You're not going to stay at somebody else's house. Did that protect them? No, it didn't always protect them. Because they had friends come over that brought stuff to our house and messed up our kids and told our kids stuff. And they, you know, and then their kids got out and started looking at other things. I had some prodigal children. I had children. My children went prodigal. They went out, but I prayed, God, don't let them stay out. Let them come back. Help them to repent and get right with God. And I'll tell you what, this morning, what you need to do is get right with God. Repent of your sins and say, God, I'm sorry. And I'll tell you what, you say you're sorry, God will take you back in a heartbeat. The Bible says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years that draw nigh, when that thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Someone's figured out all these things. Man, they said, oh, man, young people, man, they get about teenage years and up to 20, 25, and about 30 years old, it seems like a light comes on. A light will come on, and they'll say, my God, I just wasted all that time. And then about 30, about 50 years old, they look back and they think, from 30 to 50, I've done wasted some time. I did other things. I started seeking after money. And what happens at 30 years old, you start seeking after money, trying to get all these things, all the nice things. And then they waste a bunch of time, a bunch of money on stupid things. And they wake up and think, oh God, where'd they all go? Where'd the time go? Here I am, me and my wife, getting ready to turn 62. And here we have been married, coming up February 14, 42 years. You say, do you regret getting married to Linda Ryman? Linda Jean, it was Linda Theroff. She had Theroff. I said, no, I don't regret one bit getting married to her. I thank God that we got married and decided we're going to raise our kids for God, and we're going to live for God, and we're going to go on for God, and we're going to do whatever we can for God, whether little or big. Whatever we can do, we're going to do it for the Lord. And we, man, I thank God we have. The Bible says in 2 John verse 8 says, look to yourself that you lose not that things which you have wrought, but that you may receive a full reward. We want to be able to receive a full reward before the Lord. We want to do and be finished at be all the way to the end finish line and finish our course, like Paul said. But this guy, this young man, man, he said, get out of my way. I'm going to go do what I want to do. He reminds me of Rehoboam. Rehoboam in the Bible was Solomon's son. And Rehoboam came along, and man, he had all his friends and all the wealth and all the power and all the prestige. And the old Rehoboam came along. Solomon died. And all the Israel came to him and said, you going to make our load lighter? What are you going to do? You going to be like your father, or are you going to make the load lighter and be wise? So Rehoboam goes to his older men. They said, tell him you're going to make it lighter and do it. And he goes, okay. And he goes over here to his buddies. And his buddies said, man, you got to be better than your father. You got to make it harder than what your father did. You got to put on a show, man. You got to be tough. You got to be cool. And so Rehoboam comes back and answers him. And the Bible says he answered. He said, my pinky finger is going to be thicker than my father's thigh. And he was talking about, I'm going to whip you with scorpions. I'm not going to beat you with sticks. I'm going to beat you with scorpions. And he split the kingdom over his foolishness. And you know, that's why the Bible says that a preacher, a pastor, should not be a novice. Why? If he takes over a church, if he's a novice, he'll try to put on the dog, try to be somebody smart, and try to be somebody big if he's not wise, and he'll destroy people's lives and destroy a church. And we don't want to see that. And we've seen it many times before. It says, by verse 14, it says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. If you know anything about a Jew, it was abomination to a Jew to be around swine, to be around pigs. They didn't eat pork. They didn't eat that things. I got one, brother. Thank you. And they didn't eat all that stuff. So it was the citizen of that country made fun of this guy. They mocked him. I'm going to tell you something. Out in the world, if you are saved and you're a child of God and they know that you find out you're a Christian or you've gotten saved when you were younger and you went to church, they'll make fun of you. They'll make fun of you. They'll mock you. They'll make fun of God. They'll say, where is God at now in your life? You'll have no peace. And you know, a lot of you Christian kids today, they have no peace. They have no joy in their life. They're trying to find it through Facebook, through Snapchat, and all this other stuff. They're trying to find it peace and comfort, and they ain't going to find it. They're trying to find it in movies. They try to find it in something, and then they think, I'm bored. I tell you what, if you tell me you're bored, I'll find something for you to do real quick. And parents, if your kids ever say they're bored, find something for them to do. Amen. Let them clean their room. They can't even keep the room clean. It says, and it's a shame when the kids that lazy can't even keep their room clean. That's a shame. And boy, I tell you what, you ought to be able to help mom around the house. You girls ought to learn how to cook. You ought to learn how to do something around the house. You boys ought to learn how to fix cars. You ought to do something with your life than wasting it. Looking at a stupid movie or something, thinking that you go at, what happens is you like to zone out and you don't want to face reality. That's what happens. They don't want to face reality. They want to zone out. That's why drugs are so popular. Everybody wants to zone out. Everybody wants to drink away their problems. And I'm going to tell you something. When you wake up, they're still there. They're still there. You know what this boy, he longed for? And you know what he wanted? He wanted a father, even though he left a father. He got down to that far country. And the Bible says he went and joined himself onto a citizen of that country, and he sent him in the fields to feed the swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine, did eat, and no man gave unto him. Everybody walked by him and said, look at that sorry dog. Look at that Jew. He's supposed to be the God. He's supposed to be the God of his God was supposed to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at him. Look at him over there eating pig slop. Look at him. You know what Christian kids do? They like to eat pig slop. They like to go out to pig slop, eat that stuff. And man, rather, when God sets a table, the Bible says, and one day the Lord's going to feed us. And one day the Lord's going to have a table set. And I can see the Lord coming by the table while you're sitting there, Christian kid or Christian adult, and the Lord come by and say, hey, isn't this better than what you ate down there, what you're looking for? Out there in the hog pen? Isn't this a lot better than what that? And you start saying, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what? The best thing for a child of God, I always pray this. I pray people would come to themselves. I weep and cry over people. I think about people, man. I go down the road, and I'm thinking about people. I weep and cry over them. And, man, I think, man, God, if they just come to themselves, if they would just come to themselves, if they would just wake up, because they're in a dream world. Right now they think everything's going to turn out just right like in the movies. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're running from God and you don't repent, it ain't going to turn out right. It ain't. Repentance is throughout the Bible. And I'll tell you what, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So most people, they say this. They're so self-centered that they're the smallest package they've been wrapped up into. They think that they're everything that the world has need of, and they don't. The world don't want nothing you got. The smallest package. They're wrapped up in themselves. Man, the world's after you. The devil's after you. The Bible tells us that the world, the flesh, and the devil's our enemy. And trying to destroy us. And boy, you say, how do you know? Because he does it in my life. Every day I live, I'm 62 years old. Coming up 62 years old, the devil tries to mess my life up. He tries to mess up my wife's life. He tries to mess up my children's life. They always, constantly trying to whisper in your ear. And it says, verse 17, and when he came, it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Oh, I'll tell you what, he finally woke up. I'm saying this morning, in 2018, January 21st, why don't you wake up? Why don't you just wake up? Why don't you realize the Father loves you? And Father's got the best interest for you. Why you keep fighting against him? You know what Jesus said to Paul? He said, Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Why are you fighting against him? Why you keep struggling? You keep struggling with sin. Why? You keep doing it. You keep going back to it. You keep getting around it. Why? That boy had a father that loved him. He had waiting for, you know what he was waiting at home? He had in his mind, they're all talking about me. That's what people do. Whenever they go to church, you know, or they get backslidden, they say, oh, they're all talking about me. They're all saying something. We was talking about somebody yesterday, and I said, well, let's all get down and pray. We all got down and prayed. We just got down and prayed. We was talking about somebody who said, well, if you're going to talk about them, let's pray about it. That best thing you can do is if you talk about somebody, get down and pray for them. God help them. God help them. It says when he came to himself. When are you going to come to yourself? When are you going to wake up? When are you going to say, God, I've had enough. I've had enough of this stuff. You can tell when people say, when we talk about the rapture, singing songs about the Lord coming back, people get excited. You can tell who's looking for it. Or you can also tell who's looking at the far country. They're out there looking for the far country. They're looking for something better. They think it's going to, you know, girls think, if I only can find a guy who loves me. If I only can find a guy that really loves me. You know, he'll tell you that. He'll tell you anything you want to hear. And then he'll leave you like a hot potato. You guys, you think, oh, if I can find the right girl. But what happens is you find the right girl and if your heart's not right, you'll be looking for something else. You'll be out looking around. You go to the bars. You always see the same people in there looking at somebody else. You're looking around. The bars are more popular than churches. And if the guy go to the bar and find a wife, and you know what he finds? He finds exactly what he found. A wife in a bar. And that's where she's going to be. She's going to be drinking, carrying on, and living like hell. Why don't you come to yourself? Why don't you come to yourself? He had a father at home. He had a father that loved him and that cared for him. Everything that boy was looking, he was looking for love. He was looking for fine clothes. He was looking for money. He was looking for dancing. He was looking for good music. He was looking for good food. He was right at home. He was looking for all that. It was right at the house. You know what? You never realize what you got until you lose it. Never realize what you got. You know what's going to have to happen to y'all? Some of y'all is going to have to lose it. You're going to have to lose what you got. And then you'll realize, you know what? I have an advantage. I have an advantage on you. I really do. I have an advantage. Why? Because I was out there. And I knew what was out there. And I knew the hog pen because I ate out of it. I drank out of it. I lived in it. And when I got saved, I came in and went, whoa, I never want to go back. I never want to go back there. And what happens to a lot of you young people raised in church? Man, you're thinking, I'm missing it. I'm missing it. I'm hearing all this stuff that people are talking about how great it is and how good it is out there. And you go out there and you'll go out there and what happened is your pride. You might not make it back to like this young. He came to himself and he said, hey, man, my father's got good food at the house. Hey, my father's servant's eating better than I'm eating. He's out there digging in that hog trough, going, and they're watching out the window laughing at him, making fun of him. You got a good home. Yeah. Your dad provides food, amen. A roof over your head. You ought to thank God for it. Right. Amen. So, well, my father ain't what he ought to be. My mother ain't what she ought to be. Well, why don't you pray for him? Yeah. And maybe with your obedience and not your rebellion, you would help them. Amen. 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 I will rise. Look what he says in verse 18. I'll rise, go to my father. And I will say unto him, he already planned in mind. I'm going to tell God this. And I don't expect nothing back from him. You know, the Bible says in 2 John, I said that. It said, look to yourself that you lose not that which you have wrought. Some of y'all are going to lose everything. When that brother drove me home last night, I think about, man, all that they lost. He had money, but he lost it. Lost the most valuable thing, the love. He said, I'll rise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You say, what is that? That's admitting that you were wrong. Until you get right, until you admit that you're wrong, you ain't going to get right. You're going to always desire that hog pen. You're always going to desire that stuff. I've told somebody, I said, my father put beer in my milk bottle and all that stuff. That stuff is still, I mean, I can still sometimes taste it right there when the beer is being poured on the football game. I turn the channel. Why? Because I ain't going to let the devil talk me in going back out that mess. I ain't going back out there. The drugs, I ain't going back to it. Why? I've been around long enough now, folks. My wife and I have been married 42 years. I've been saved 40, 45, something like, I've been around long enough to see the end thereof. And I wish you could have preached the funerals I've preached, where people have taken guns and blew their head off. And little children died because of parents. I wish you could be there. I've cried through things and preaching funerals because of, man, I'm thinking, this shouldn't have been. This shouldn't have been. Christian people. Christian people burying children because they didn't do right. Blaming themselves, and then the husband and wife divorces because of it. Blaming each other. The devil's slick, boy. If I was the devil, I wouldn't change a thing. He's doing a good job destroying people's lives. Now, you know what he found out? He found out the family that he thought he didn't need, he needed. He found out he really needed that family. He found out that family was the most valuable thing in his life. And boy, he desired it. He desired to go back to his family. He desired his father. He desired forgiveness. He desired the friends that was trying to do right, that tried to tell him, don't go out there, man. Don't go out there. You're going to go down the wrong road. I'm going to tell you something, young people, older folks, if you're going down that road, you're drinking, drugging, smoking dope, you're driving like a crazy fool, you're going down the wrong road. You're heading for destruction. You think, I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way. You're heading for destruction. I've been around long enough. I've been around a lot longer than you. I don't want my grandkids to go down that road. I'll do everything I can to stop it. I'll do everything I can. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll do most of it on my knees. If you want to see your kids and grandkids make it through this life is tough. This life is tough. There's things tough in this life. Trying to make it through this life unscathed. And man, trying to live for God. In this life, sometimes it can be tough. And I'll tell you what, you better be praying. You better be seeking God. This young man thought he had a tiger by the tail, like a lot of young people do. They think they know it all. And they think they got it. Everything's going to end up different for me because it's me. I know what I'm doing. This young man desired his family when he got down in the hog pen. He desired the food that his father had at the table. He desired the finance. You know, he said, give me everything that belongs to me. He took his inheritance and wasted it. You know, as a child of God, you can waste your inheritance. You know that? The devil knows. He knows he can't get your soul. He knows he can't get your soul. He gets your life, but he can get your inheritance. Get you to waste it. You get your inheritance. You say, give me what belongs to me. God, I'm going to go out. I had the question, can a person be saved? Can a person be saved and deny the Lord? Yeah, they can. Turn back on serving, not serving. Yeah, they can do that. But it's going to cost them something. That's why that verse says, look to yourself that you lose not that which you have wrought. And you can lose a reward. The Bible says this. It says, and he rose and he came to the Father. You know what I like about this? I remember Jimmy Chandler preached on this. Jimmy Chandler preached on don't sell the farm. He was preaching the message. He likened this thing. He said that farm was the place that boy went back to. And he likened the church as the farm. You know what happens? Churches are selling out. And they're not there anymore. They've turned into antique shops. And he said, man, if you sell the farm, that boy will never have a place to come back to. I get calls from kids that are out of this church, have been everywhere else. They said, man, I desire to be back there. Oh, I want to come back to church. Oh, I want to be here. They thought they knew what they were going to do. They go out and they sign a paper. They do whatever for a job or whatever. And they go out and they say, man, I would love to be back home. And they come to themselves. And they didn't realize what they had when they left. And the Bible says, and the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, his father didn't even hear it. His father heard it, but his father was overjoyed. He was overjoyed that his son come back. And I told my wife when Josh moved out, when I told him he had to get out of the house, if he wasn't going to live for God, and my wife and I cried for 3 days, I said, we got to let him go to get him back. And God sometimes will let you go so far to get you back. Why? Because he loves you. I can see that father sitting on, I can see an old picture of a farm and with the fields and the grain blowing, and all of a sudden the father sitting on there on that front porch rocking in his rocking chair, and all of a sudden something looks like a head coming across that grain. And he looks, is that him? Is that him? Is that her? Is that her? been living under a bridge, eating out of trash cans? Is that my child? Is my child coming home? The Bible said that father went to meet him. What a thing. I'm going to tell you something. If you repent before God, he'll meet you. You know, the Bible says this. It says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. You make that first step towards God, he'll make a step towards you. You know what God wants? He wants his children. Just like any father, any mother wants their children to be with him. I told my wife, I said, we could add on to the house of all our, if all our kids and our grandkids wanted to move back home, that's fine with us. That's fine. Some people say, I'm going to get them out of my house. I can't wait till they get out of here and then get rid of them grandkids and send them home. You know, we'll spoil them and send them home. No, I'd rather them all just stay right there. That's the way we are. Why? We have joy with them. That father loved him. You know, I said there's three people involved in this thing. You had the father, you had the prodigal son, and then you had the elder brother. The elder brother, he was jealous. And we got some people that get right, come back to God. We got some self-centered people. We got some elder brother type people. They're Pharisaical, and they think, look, the elder brother gets upset because the younger one came home and the father put on a party for him. Threw a big party for him and made a big deal out of it. And we ought to make a big deal about somebody coming back. Amen. When a child of God comes back and come back to church, we ought to make a big deal out of it. Thank God for him. Thank God they come home. And you know what? The father was excited. It says, the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Here the boy was looking for nice clothes. And the father says, go get the best robe we got. He says, and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. The boy, he probably had to hawk every chain, every ring he had down in the far country. He thought, like I said, he thought he had friends. You know, some of y'all, you found out who your real friends are. The Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But, you know, a friend loveth at all times. I tell people, you know, people say, why do you do what you do caring about? Because I love him. I want to see him back. I want to see him living for God. I can see the potential that's in him, that God can use him. Somebody saw that in me. Somebody had compassion on me. And we ought to have compassion on other people. And the Bible says in verse 22, and the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. This old boy came home barefooted. He didn't even have shoes to wear. He said, put shoes on him. That father had tears running down his face, but rejoicing at the same time. Well, I tell you what, when God's children get right, the Bible says, and even when the Bible says, when one sinner repenteth, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. So who's rejoicing? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. If you're here today, you're not saved. I know this is a picture of a saved person coming home to the Father. But I'll tell you what, God rejoices over one sinner that repenteth. I'll tell you what, 2018 be a good time to get close to God. It'd be a good time to go after the brothers and sisters that's out. You know, that Bible says that father didn't go out there, but don't you know that father prayed? His prayers followed that boy wherever he went. Wherever that boy was, that prayers of that daddy followed him. It stayed with him. And you know what the Bible tells us? It says in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Ghost makes intercession for us. God's prayers. Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. Jesus Christ is praying for you. You know what I see in a lot of you young men in here? You know what I see in you? I see such potential. I see so much potential in you guys. You guys, you're way ahead of me. At my age and your age, you're way ahead of me. And what you could do for God, what you could do and accomplish for God, and you throw it away. Throw it away on yourself, thinking, I know how to make me happy. And then you find it and you ain't happy. Then you say, I find this, it'll make me happy, and it ain't going to make you happy. You know, as a child of God, nothing in this world is going to make you happy like God can. Nothing. You try to find women, drugs, drinking, partying, money, it ain't going to make you happy. All it's going to do is just one more nail in the coffin to destroy you. It says, bring hither the fatted calf, good food, kill it. Let us eat and be merry. And this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And boy, I tell you what, the father rejoiced over this son. Let me ask you something. What do you think God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost would do today if you came? got off your high horse of pride and said, Lord, I'm sorry. We all got the prodigal son in us. It's all in us. There ain't a person in this room that don't have the prodigal son in him. He's there. He's alive. He wants his way. He's got his eye on the far country. And boy, if you keep looking at it, before long you'll be there. It's all in us. What would Father do if you came home today? You repented. The Bible says, he says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my Father. He's going to admit that he is wrong. You know the first step towards the Father? You're not, our prayers, you're not going to get no way with God, nowhere. When you study your Bible, you find that when you pray and you want God to answer your prayer, the first step is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. That's the first step. I've had people say, God doesn't answer my prayer. I don't know why God doesn't hear me. Admit. Admit. You know what people won't do? They won't admit. Because if for you to admit is saying I'm wrong, then that means somebody else was right. God the Father's right. I'm going to tell you something. We're all in the same boat. And I'm not the kind of preacher that would point my finger and say, see there, look at you, look at you. I'm the kind of guy to go get you by the arm and say, come on, man. We can make it. We can make it. I always wanted this church to be the same way. I thank God for the folks in this church the same way. Go after people and say, we can make it. I don't want to be like the older brother. I don't want to be like that older brother sitting around criticizing my younger brother. Somebody that didn't make it or came home and man started getting right. Criticize him. He missed, you know what he missed? He missed his brother's confession. He missed when his brother said, Father, I'm sorry. He missed it. He missed his brother's request. Just make me a servant. Just make me a servant. I just want to be your servant. You know what I want to be? I want to be his servant. That older brother criticized that he couldn't see, he couldn't even see straight because he was so caught up with himself. He missed the father's reception that father was making. He wouldn't even come in. Look at the verse down here, verse 21 and over 25. And his elder brother, the elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. These are all the things the boy went after. And it says, and he called one of his servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf. This is something special. It was something special. For a special occasion. And for the boy to come home, the father killed the fatted calf because he had received him safe and sound. You know what's the fear of every parent? Is when their kids are out at night, is that they get home safe and sound. You kids, you're wrong. If you stay out late, make your mama stay up and not be able to go to sleep, you're wrong. You'll regret it one day. Because your kids will do the same thing to you. If you ever man up to be a father like you should be. If you ever man up to be a woman or be a woman up to be a woman, they'll do the same thing to you. You know that Bible says you reap what you sow? You know, now I pray this. I pray, God, don't let me have to reap all that I've sowed. Doc used to say, you send out the ships, they're going to come back loaded. You send out your ship, they're going to come back loaded. And you pray, God, sink the ships before they come back. Sometimes they make it back. And I pray for my children that they wouldn't reap what I've sown. And I'm going to tell you something, it comes out. It comes out. He missed the robe. He missed his father crying, putting the robe on his son, saying, welcome home. I heard Tim Lee talk about, you know, when he got back home from Vietnam. I heard Cleve McClarity talk about when he got home from Vietnam. I heard Cleve McClarity was the most decorated Marine in Vietnam. Cleve McClarity. I heard his testimony. I heard a guy named David Reaver. We heard his testimony. David Reaver was blown up by a sulfur grenade in Vietnam, and he talked about his wife. All the women would come in. All their husbands were in the Army hospital in Germany. And he said they got them back to Germany, and he said the women would come up, and they had tags on all the men's toes that were wounded. Some of them was conscious, some of them wasn't. And he said all his skin was melted off his body. He looked like a zombie. And he said she came in, and all the other women, he watched them as they came in. They looked at the tag on their husband, looked up at their face, and took the ring off and placed it on the bed and walked away. And David Reaver said, he said, when my wife came in, he said, I was scared. She's going to see me. She ain't going to want me. And he said, when she came in, he said, she took that tag, and she looked at that tag and seen David Reaver. He said, he was waiting for her to take the ring off and put it on the bed. He said, but she didn't do that. He said he had his good eye. He has one eye open. He said she came around, and she said, David, she couldn't even recognize him because the skin of his face was all melted off. She said, David, is that you? He said, yes. And she reached over and kissed him on his forehead. He said, honey, I'm sorry. I'm not as good looking as I used to be. And she said, honey, don't worry about it. You never was good looking. That older brother missed that robe. He missed the ring. He missed all that thing. I tell you what, I don't want to be like that elder brother and be critical of a brother or sister getting right. The Bible says he came to himself. I'm telling you, 2018, come to yourself. Wake up. A lot of the old timers are passing off the scene. A lot of the Christians stood at one time passing off the scene. We need somebody to step up and going to be faithful, love the Father, not leave the home to go to a far country. The far country is right in here. It's right in here. That's where the far country is. And a lot of times you think, if I could just get there to where I want and do what I want, everything would be all right. No, it won't. I'm telling you, God, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God can order your steps, good or bad. But this law of sowing and reaping is still in effect. That prodigal son said, get out of my way. I know what I'm doing. Most Christians think they do. They don't. Best thing to do is stay humble before the Lord. We had an old saying, better be humble or you'll stumble. Don't get to the place where you got that critical eye looking at everybody. You blame everybody else for your problems. Those Christians. You know what? When things happen in my life, I don't blame you. I don't blame God. I don't blame anybody around this country. I blame me. And you say, what do you do about it? I repent before God. And said, Lord, if this is my fault, which it probably is, forgive me. You know how you know you're still a prodigal son is when you blame everybody else for your problems. You blame a prodigal daughter, you'll blame everybody else in the church, you'll blame God, you'll call everybody hypocrites. Everybody's a hypocrite. But you're not. No, not you. You would never be a hypocrite. You're the biggest of them all. But you'll blame everybody else. That's how you know the prodigal son is in you and alive and well. Because you want to blame somebody. The prodigal son, leaning over that hog trough, eating of that food, and all of a sudden it came to him. What am I doing? Mama, daddy, the best thing you can do is pray that they come to themselves. You never know when. Never know when. Teenagers go through the time, I always call it brain dead syndrome. They go through the brain dead. They think they know it all. They got everything, and they're just brain dead. They have selfie-itis. selfie-itis. Brain dead. Stuck on stupid. I just put that sign in my window coming out my office. It says, I have to read it to you. Sarcasm is the body's natural defense against stupidity. But the sarcasm you ought to have is against yourself. Sarcasm. Amen. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Let me ask you something. Have you come to yourself yet? Or are you going to stay on stupid? What you guys, what you young guys and young ladies could do for God if you weren't stuck on yourself. How many teenagers are killing themselves? Drugging themselves. Drinking themselves. People that you can reach that I can't. And you don't care. You don't care. All you care is about me. You don't care who you hurt. You don't care who you talk about. You don't care about your parents. So I'm 62 years old, but I think back, I can still see it in my mind when they took me out of a courtroom and my mother sitting there. They put chains on me. And my mother sat on the curb if they put me in the back of a paddy wagon. And I'm walking with chains on my feet. And I remember watching my mama fall down, sitting on that curb, crying, because her baby son, went to prison. You know what? I could have cared less. I looked at her and went, and that's where some of y'all are right now. Care less. You're prodigal. And God wants you to repent. And if you don't, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's going to get harder. And it's going to get harder, and you'll blame more people. Your scope of blame will have no end. You'll blame everybody and everything. And you still won't get right. And you might not even come to yourself till you're 50 years old. That'd be such a shame. Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy. I pray for my brothers and sisters.